Today on Real Radio.
The body of Christ is an amazing organism. Because, look, if we were managing a corporation, it's easier. I worked 13 years for one corporation, a global corporation. I have to tell you, it was much more easier to supervise a laboratory in the world than it is to work in a church. Because you know what? And this is sad, but absolutely true. And you know it's true. In the world, you can tell someone, you will do this, you will have it done by 3 o'clock. We need it. Now, go. And you know what? They do it, and it's done. And it's done well. You want to know why? For the money. They work hard for the money. It should be said of us, they work hard for their Lord.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in the Old Testament book of Judges. We're in a presentation taken from chapter 7. Now, this is the fascinating account of how Gideon's army was divinely reduced to just 300 men before battling an apparently superior enemy. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs in a presentation called A Few Good Men.
And so it says in verse 1 that Jerubbaal, remember his name? That's what his name was changed to. It means Baal fighter or contender. Baal fighter or troubler. One who troubles Baal. What a great, man, I want that name. Don't you want that name? It'd be great to have a name. Satan troubler. That's who you are. You get on your knees, you pray, you drive Satan crazy. You know, change his name. Satan troubler. Every Christian should be a Satan troubler. So they give him a new name, Baal fighter, Baal troubler. And all the people who were with him rose early, and they encamped there beside the well of Harod. And so the Midianites are there. There's the battle lines beginning to be drawn. But his future, the future of the nation, is based upon the very fact where Gideon stood. And I believe that's significant today. We also understand this, that Gideon's confidence would be in the Lord this way, that God's word is not bound by physics. God's very word invented physics. Some of you science-minded people, you need to understand that. God's word does not submit to science. Science submits to God's word. He's the divine engineer creator. It's his word. And by the way, whenever you see good science, you know that will always be in conjunction with the Bible. The Bible and good science will never contradict. If there's one thing history has taught us, it's that. Just read your Bible and be patient, and you'll see science will catch up to the Bible. It's amazing. But when we think about this, God's word is not bound by physics. In verse 2, it says that the Lord said to Gideon, the people who are with you are too many. There's too many people to bring the Midianites into your hands. Can't do that. Or else Israel's going to claim glory for itself. If I give you the victory like this, they're all going to say, well, we had so many people that we did it without God. Isn't it funny how we are as humans? Human nature is like that. We're all trembling and terrified. And then when it's over or when it passes, we say, oh, that wasn't so bad. We're all timid, and then we get through it, and it's like, yeah, it was nothing. I don't do amusement parks. It says in the Bible right there, you shall not tempt the Lord thy God. But I see friends, because I'll go, and I sit down with the little grandmas and the little girls. I just sit right there. And I see all these guys, it's funny because, you know, oh, yeah, you know, welcome to America. Let's go to Disneyland. Here you go. We're, come on, you're going to come? No, I'm going to sit right here and take care of the grandmas and the little girls here. Just. And you can see them, well, okay, all right, I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid. They're terrified. And then when it's over, you know, I told you I wasn't afraid. There's this thing about human nature. I'm afraid, I'm terrified. But if we wind up being successful or coming through it or getting on the other end of it and the release comes and the weight's lifted, we have a tendency to boast about it. Oh, it was nothing. Come on, don't be a baby. Human nature's like that. God says, no. I'm not going to give you the Midianite victory with so many people. Israel's going to take it to their head. That has always been the case. History buffs, study the war in 67 and the Yom Kippur War. Look at those wars that Israel completely outnumbered, impossible odds. And God brings you through. Every time since 1948 that Israel has had a war, she's either defended herself and stayed intact, or after she was attacked and she defended herself, her borders increased. Every time. God does not care about numbers, and he doesn't care about physics. He can do a miracle, and that's what he's going to do here. Lest Israel claim the glory. And so Gideon's confidence is of the Lord, looking to the Lord, knowing that the history of Israel is before his feet and that God could do anything. And then thirdly, verse 3, look at this. There's a call to excellence. I love this verse. Gideon's confidence would be in the Lord, and there's a call to excellence. Christian, listen up. Now, therefore, proclaim to the hearing of the people, whoever is fearful and afraid, let him turn and depart at once. Basically, go home. And 22,000 people got up and left. By the way, that was a command in Deuteronomy. If you're going to get ready to go to war and somebody wants to wimp out and head to Canada, then let them go. And God put that in there. You want to go to Canada? Go. Don't go to war. Go. I'll go to war with the guys that I've called. This is exactly, it's being lived out here in this portion of Scripture. Mentioned in Deuteronomy, lived out here. God says, if you're afraid, stay home. Can you imagine? All right, we're going to go to battle. We're going to go to war. They got camels, swordsmen. Look at them. They're like locusts. All right, here we go. Now, before we go, whoever wants to go home, go home. 22,000 people got up and left. Can you imagine? That's like the Marine Corps quitting tonight. We quit. Can you imagine that? And you're standing there, and you see these people turning around. They're walking. See you, Bob. Okay. Can you imagine the hearts of those 10,000 who stayed? It's amazing to me that they had 10,000 who stayed. You know, when somebody surrenders, it's got a nasty effect on people. I've told many of you to read that book, 1776. You're not going to like this, but it's true. George Washington, we were so outnumbered by the English, that at the battle there in Boston, when they're at Dorchester Heights, right before they get ready to defend, thank God God had another plan and changed the whole thing, put surrendering, as it were, or backing up and getting out of the harbor into the English, God put that into them, and they said, let's get out of here. But George Washington told them, if any man, because it's so contagious, fear, if any man shows any fear tomorrow, you will be shot. Because one man fears, it will affect 10 men, and they've got 49,000 soldiers, and we've got 6,000. So anybody starts getting wimpy, just know this, you're going to get shot. Now that is a tremendous incentive. Wow. These guys are evacuating. What's the call to excellence? God does not want, listen carefully, God does not want a heart of timidity in battle. He doesn't need a massive army to get the job done. But he doesn't want timidity in the heart in the midst of the war. It would be like you and I praying and praying and praying for someone to be healed or something to happen, and somebody in the prayer meeting says, I just don't think it's going to happen. It's just... That's it. Look, our hearts are prone to fear and to doubt anyway. And then for someone to show cowardice or to be timid, it affects the entire troop. And so God says, listen, this is excellence. Go home and leave only the willing. You see, well, Pastor, I'm afraid that I would be in the group that would retreat. I am too. This is why we have such a wonderful prayer that we can offer up to an awesome God. We can pray prayers like this. God, I'm scared of my surgery tomorrow. Or I'm scared of my job interview tomorrow. Or God, I'm scared of this situation. But I ask you to take away my fear. Lord, I don't know if I remembered everything for the exam, but I'm asking you to bring it to my memory. Our God is like that. I don't know how willing I am, Lord, to follow through on this thing that I know I should do. Will you make me willing? Can't you agree with that? Don't we want to pray more? But we're weak at praying. So what do we pray? One of our first prayers. Oh God, please make me pray more. We have such a wonderful God. He's not insulted by that. We are weak and we are floundering because frankly, we do not go to him and ask him to help us. He is there and he wants excellence. Everything that you and I do as a believer, we should do in an excellent way unto the Lord. And the body of Christ is an amazing organism. Because look, if we were managing a corporation, it's easier. I worked 13 years for one corporation, a global corporation. I have to tell you, it was much more easier to supervise a laboratory in the world than it is to work in a church. Because you know what? And this is sad but absolutely true, and you know it's true. In the world, you can tell someone, you will do this, you will have it done by 3 o'clock, we need it, now, go. And you know what? They do it, and it's done well. You wanna know why? For the money. They work hard for the money. Hang on, what? Listen, the Christian, it should be said of us, they work hard for their God. They work hard for their Lord. The world has its way, and it has its motive. A church is altogether different. It's interesting. I fight that temptation, by the way, to see the world doing things so excellent. In the Christian church, sometimes things lack greatly, you know? A call to excellence. Gideon is confident that the Lord would be there with him. Second point tonight is this, verses 4 through 7, a few good men, Gideon's authority would be established by the Lord. Isn't that wonderful? That's another thing that God does, is that he establishes authority through his servants. And he does so through faith and obedience. You got to admit, Gideon has been faithful. He's been obedient. And he comes to verse 4, and the Lord said to Gideon, the people are still too many. Wouldn't you love to see his face? We've got 10,000, Lord. Looks like we got 10,000 left. Some guy comes running up. Gideon, I just counted everybody. We've got 10,000 left, 22,000 left. They left, we've got 10,000. Lord, we've got 10,000. Gideon, yes, Lord. Way too many. Can you imagine? This man is in the stretch of faith, but he's going to be obedient. There are still too many. And then the Lord says, I will test them for you. Here, watch this. I'm going to test them for you. Then it will be that of whom I say to you, this one shall go with you, the same shall go with you. And whoever I say this one shall not go with you, the same shall not go with you. Gideon was a man of faith and he was obedient and Christian. This is what arises in my mind. I am tempted to often ask, Lord, why? How come? Okay, but what about? I have found out, unless it's in prayer, God is not big on dialogue. When it's prayer time, that is a dialogue. Are you with me? But when the Lord says, go, do this. Remember when Moses came to the Red Sea? I love that scene. Charlton Heston comes right up there, and he stands there. And in the Bible, Moses looks at the Red Sea. He turns around, and he sees all the Egyptians coming, and about 2.5 million Hebrews looking at him with, you know, big eyes. Can you imagine this? And Moses, it's almost like the staff was a microphone. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And God says, why are you crying to me? I said, go. Don't you know the Egyptians are coming? It's so practical. Moses, what are you doing? I'm announcing to the people to see the salvation of the Lord. The army's coming. They're going to kill you. Get moving. I love that. And Moses puts his foot in the water and wham. God parts the sea. And faith is like that. Obedience is like that. We don't always have the answer. What do you think it's called faith for? When God says, I want you to do this. Wow, I want you to do that. Or I want you to go here. He'll only give you enough of the breadcrumbs to get you to move. Just like he did that with Abraham. In the book of Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8, it says, Abraham left Ur of the Chaldees following the Lord, not knowing where he was going. I actually said that to a bank one time. They said, we want to know what your 15-year plan is. And I said, we don't know. We don't have one. What? And I said, the Bible says, Abraham followed God not knowing where he was going. We do not know where we're going. I'm serious. See, they want to work with the church, but they don't like spiritual answers. We don't know. So the lady, she's sweet. She pressed it. Well, come on, you got to give me something. I got to write something there. I said, frankly, this is great stuff that we're doing here right now. It's got to happen. But we're praying that the Lord comes back any day now. Scouts honor. Second thing under this is that Gideon's authority will be established by the Lord. And that is a great, great thing, is when God establishes authority. There's nothing worse than somebody running around trying to establish their own authority. It's pathetic. Gideon's authority will be established by the Lord, verse number 5, by being a leader God's way. Being a leader God's way means you have to first be a follower of God. All of God's leaders were first followers. And they follow him. So he, verse 5, brought the people down to the water. And the Lord said to Gideon, everyone who laps from the water with his tongue, as a dog laps, you shall set him apart by himself. Likewise, everyone who gets down on his knees to drink. Watch this. First of all, those of you who have been with us to Israel, do you remember going to Gideon Springs? They've actually geologically and archaeologically has found this location. Gideon Springs, that's what it's called. It must have been beautiful in his day. Now the springs come out of the ground and flows into a really nice swimming pool and all these people jumping around and goofing off. I don't think Gideon had a pool like that to play in, but his springs have been found in this exact location where it's listed here in Scripture. God says, bring him down to the spring. Here's what I'm going to do. Now watch this. This is very cool. You guys, God can do anything. He doesn't need us. He involves us into what he wants to do. Okay, remember that. He releases the 22,000. There's the 10,000. And now we're down to 300 against this huge army. God doesn't even need the 300. But what he does is he calls these men to excellence, character building. And then what's going on here is that he says, okay, Gideon, now watch these guys. When they go down to the water, it's funny that this matters to God. The guys who lap the water like a dog, that's not an insult. It sounds kind of weird, doesn't it? He's not insulting them. Next time you see a dog drink water, watch what a dog does. It's very amazing. A dog, when it goes to drink water, will look straight ahead and bring the water up with its tongue right to its mouth. You'll never see the dog, you know, he's putting his face in the bowl. It's in its DNA. A dog will put its head down, look straight, and drink and look. Like this. God says, those are the guys I want. They're not going to get on their knees. They'll get down on one knee, and they'll bring the water to their mouth like this, and they're looking, their heads up. Why does that matter to God? I don't have a clue. I do not know. God doesn't need them, so why should it matter? I think this. God honors a heart that is vigilant, that is diligent, a heart that is on the both offensive and defensive, a heart that is looking. Didn't Jesus say, watch, pray, for you do not know when the Son of Man returns? You don't know what hour he's going to come, so be ready. Over and over again, the Bible says, be ready. As Christians, we need to be bringing just enough to our mouths, always scanning, always looking our eyes off of this world and around at the things that might threaten us or the things that might be opening up to us by the Lord. God says, I want those kind of men, Gideon, men of excellence, men of this character. I think that's significant. I think it speaks about their hearts being completely committed to the task. You gotta understand, these guys are serious commandos because they've just watched 22,000 people leave and nearly, 9,000 some odd guys be unselected, if I can use that word. It's just 300 guys. And when they go to get water, they're ready. I love that. I pray Jesus finds us ready. I think maybe, you know how cool, wouldn't it be great if the Lord, as we're fasting and praying as a church this July 3rd and July 4th, wouldn't it be awesome if the Lord spoke something to us? I'm expecting him to do that. What does he want to do? Secondly, verses 6 through 7, discernment by observation. I think it's discernment by observation. Gideon's authority is established. God tells him, this is what I want you to do. And so, and the number of those who lapped, putting their hand to their mouth, were 300 men. And the rest of them, who drank water on their knees like that, he sent them away. And by the 300 men, God said, who lapped, I will save you and deliver the Midianites into your hands. And he let all the other people go home, go back to their place. This is amazing. Discernment by observation. What do I mean by that? Discernment by observation. There is no word in here that tells us that what we're reading, everybody knew. Seems as though God's speaking to Gideon. Gideon, this, that, or the other. God speaks to Gideon. Gideon watches and obeys. In doing this, you see Gideon in a wonderful, as it were, a mediator type sense. He's listening to the Lord. He's looking at his troops. And based upon the wisdom of God, he's making discernible, wise decisions. You see, Jack, it wasn't even his decision. Ah, the authority. God establishes authority. God makes the decision and communicates it to his leaders. The leaders turn around and they may look noble. They may look all wise. When they speak what they say, watch this, people will say, well, that's a stupid idea. People will say, why would we do that? People will say, that makes no sense.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a presentation called A Few Good Men, taken from the first 15 verses of Judges chapter 7. We'll continue with more in this chapter on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Currently, Pastor Jack is also teaching a topical series called Life and the Bible. You know, many parts of Scripture contain practical wisdom, suggestions, tips, certainly commands on how to live and deal with the issues we experience in everyday life. Well, Pastor Jack takes us through them in this series called Life and the Bible. And this week, for your gift to the ongoing work of Real Radio of any amount, we'll send you Pastor Jack's message on DVD called Life and the Bible, Being a Christian in Your Relationships. Our number is toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. You can also visit us at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. Or for the cost of a stamp, you can send in your contribution to Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Of course, all of our contact information can be found at realradioactive.org. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, You shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.